I want to introduce you to a journalist who has been a lifelong liberal. In fact, just a few months ago, he voted for Hillary Clinton. He has had a change of heart since the election. He has written a New York Post article entitled, "I'm a Gay New Yorker and I'm Coming Out as a Conservative." He says this is the hardest thing he has done, harder than coming out of the closet as a gay man, to come out as a conservative. We're going to talk to him right now.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Chadwick Moore, a lifelong liberal and journalist who has now written this line in his op-ed. "When I was growing up in the Midwest, coming out as to my family at the age of 15 was one of the hardest things I've ever done. Today, it is just as nerve-wracking coming out to all of my to all of New York as a conservative." Chadwick, welcome to the program. May I call you Chad, or what do you prefer, Chadwick?
You can call me anything you'd like, Glenn. Thank you for.
Well, what do you prefer? What do you prefer, though? Do you prefer Chadwick?
Most people call me. Yeah, Chadwick's fine.
Okay,
yeah.
So Chadwick, is this harder than? Are the consequences greater than when you came out, or the same, or less?
The consequences are definitely greater. You know, when I came out as a teenager, of course, it was scary for all the reasons that everyone hears about. You're worried about being bullied, worried about your family rejecting you. But I had at that time sort of like, you know, I had a fake ID. I was going out to gay bars. I already had this sort of network of friends, gay friends that I'd made, or at least accepting friends who I could sort of secretly tell. I didn't have any conservative friends. I didn't know anyone. And I live in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, which is the epicenter of New York City, of sort of the social justice identity politics brigade.
Holy cow.
I was going in completely blind. As we know that coming out as a conservative, you face employment discrimination, absolutely, especially in industries like media, which I'm in. We see all this violence on the street. We see people being assaulted and yelled at for no reason. So it was definitely more nerve-wracking.
So, Chadwick, I have a friend who is on the other side of the aisle. I have several of them, and one of them was telling me just the other day that they don't know how to even speak sometimes to their own friends, and they're rock-solid liberal. They don't know how to speak to some of their own friends because things are so crazy, and I think it's this way on the right, too, that if you're not lockstep against Donald Trump, if you're in a liberal circle, you're an enemy.
Oh, 100% yes. You know, I've had conservative-leaning libertarian values for a long time, and they've been growing. And even just a couple years ago, you know, I could get into political discussions with people, and it'd be very clear that I have these views. And they might not like it. They might yell and storm out. But you could still mostly have a debate. Now that is not the case. And I've been noticing, especially the last year, if I would start to challenge my friend's political ideas and start to present the other side, you were the enemy. And the next time that person saw you, they would not talk to you. So it's definitely changed. You know, I like to say that my politics have not changed. It's the line that's moved beneath my feet. It's moved me into the right.
So what is it? I mean, was it Donald Trump that moved you there? How do you define conservative? Because I'm not sure how to define that anymore.
Great point. I define, you know, lots of people can disagree with me on this. I find conservative to be a very useful term, a very useful umbrella term for the sort of diverse political thought that's on the right. So the evangelical Christians, the Tea Partiers, the establishment Republicans, and then people more like me who are the libertarian classical liberals. So that's how I use the term conservative. I find that useful. Donald Trump was definitely a huge, you know, I feel like his rise And a lot of people who identify more libertarian on the right, their visibility, has really shifted the borders of conservatism and been more welcoming to people like myself who are disaffected liberals, who are against the leftists. And Donald Trump has really sort of, you know, no longer is the face of conservatism these kind of Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan types, who I would have just as little in common with, I think, as I do Hillary Clinton, even though I held my nose and ticked her box last November.
So, Chadwick, so we're probably then in the same category of conservative. I don't relate to the big government people at all, and I want to leave people alone. I was, you know, I didn't have a problem with gay marriage, you know, long before Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. I just don't think the government has a place in anybody's marriage, left, right, gay, straight, doesn't matter. They just don't have a place there. So you are more of a libertarian, small government, leave people alone kind of constitutionalist.
Absolutely. Yes. Firm, staunch believer in First and Second Amendment, absolute constitutionalist.
Did you have a problem with the Obama administration on the First Amendment?
You know, they did really shady things with the press. You know, everyone likes to think that Trump is this authoritarian person, but, you know, Obama was going after journalists left and right. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Democrats are sort of his administration, you know, they didn't really get much done, but the sort of liberal base then under his administration seems to have been galvanized in this radical, awful way. And the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton and the DNC have never called them out or tried to reprimand them. They just have let them run wild. So in that sense, I think Obama, yeah, he never tried to stop this radical push to the left that his followers have undergone.
Talking to Chadwick Moore, he's a journalist out of New York. He was known as a liberal. He's now a conservative, a libertarian, small government conservative, constitutionalist. I have said this to my inner circle, that I have met with a bunch of people that, in fact, have given lots of money to the Democratic Party, who have now woken up for the very first time to the fact that, wait a minute, my party is really pretty extreme. They're embracing this authoritarian kind of idea, and they rejected that serious Marxists and people who really didn't like the Constitution or didn't like the free market system, you know, had a real serious place at the table. They knew they were in the party, but they didn't think they had a real serious place at the table. And they've opened their eyes. Now, many of them haven't been strong enough as you are now, but they have told me behind the scenes, I'm not with the Democrats either. Do you think there is that you're alone, or do you think there's a lot of people like this that are feeling the way you did?
Glenn, I know for a fact there are a lot of people, and the evidence is in my inbox. I've gotten thousands of messages from people since that post story ran, and I would say legitimately 50% of those messages are from conservatives from all walks of life, evangelicals to libertarians. The other half, I would say, are disaffected Democrats who have been saying to me, I feel the exact same way you do. I'm scared to come out. I don't agree with this. I consider myself a moderate, but there's no place for me in the party anymore. I'm scared if I speak up, I'll lose my job. That's a big thing. I'll lose clients. You know, I'm an independent contractor and I don't know what to do. And people have said, like, thank you for being a vessel for this voice of reason, especially, for, you know, coming from the left. What you said about, it's like President Reagan said, if fascism comes to America, it'll be in the guise of liberalism.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be private ownership with absolute government control.
How do we grow this? Because Chadwick, this is something that I have been, working towards for a while and felt really alone for a long time, that there would be strange bedfellows, that we're not going to agree on everything, and we're going to come from the left and the right, and we're just going to stand for basic principles. And people will say, what principles do we have in common? We could start with just the Bill of Rights. And if you could give me nine out of the 10 of the Bill of Rights. I think we have enough to build strong coalitions, and I don't think it's that hard. How do we empower the people on both sides that are afraid to come out? Because I've seen it on both sides. It's bad.
Yeah, and that is an excellent question and an excellent point. I agree with you that the strongest weapon we have is the Bill of Rights. It is the Constitution. A few months ago, I was thinking, you know, this country is either on the verge of a bloody civil war or a really radical, wonderful political enlightenment. And it looks like staunch constitutionalism. And I think that's what you see happening. I think there are tons of people like me who, the sort of liberal I was what this term that a lot of people are using now called the classical liberal, which is a constitutionalist. It's someone who supports free people, free markets, free speech, free thought. And I think that is, nobody disagrees with that. So I think that you're right, that is the greatest weapon we have. And the sort of authoritarian element on the left, I still believe, is so small and so fringe, but they're so violent. And their biggest weapon is their you know, racist, homophobic, Nazi bigot. You know, that's all they can say because they have no argument. And nobody wants to be called those things. Those are the worst things in the world to be called. So if you challenge them, they throw those words at you and then you shut up. And that's why the media doesn't challenge them, because the media doesn't want to be boycotted. They don't want to be this and that. I think most people in media are terrified of these people too. But I think there's signs that that's no longer working. People see that Donald Trump isn't, you know, a white supremacist. So I think it's beginning to crack. And I think that you're right that the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, is the greatest weapon to unite the most patriotic and fair-minded people in this country. Because our country, if you look at Europe, how authoritarian culture has become in Europe, we really are the last hope for this sort of great idea of free people and free markets and individual responsibility.
How do you argue with people who will say this to a Republican? They said it under George Bush, and they will say it again because of Donald Trump. And they say it to people like you that were voted for Barack Obama, assuming you did, voting for Barack Obama, supported or was relatively quiet during Barack Obama. What do you say to those people say, well, where were you as a staunch constitutionalist when X, Y, or Z were happening? And you can say that to both sides. How do we tell people the past is the past, and I'm sincere in standing with the Constitution?
That's another great question. Right. So I was thinking about this just the other day. When Obama was president, it was very much like, I'm just going to close my eyes and let him take the wheel. I think a lot, you know, if I just speak of my own personal experience, people are allowed to make mistakes. I didn't know any better. And also at the time, I just felt I didn't have, it's strange because I've been on both sides now. I didn't feel I had a choice, especially when the religious right was in control of the Republican Party. And as a gay person, you know, and they're sort of very anti-gay, non-libertarian rules they're trying to enforce, you just feel like you didn't have a choice. So you're like, well, these are my people. I'm a Democrat. I have to be a Democrat. And this is what we were saying earlier about the sort of lines being changed and Donald Trump sort of opening up. I mean, Donald Trump's the first president to take office being for gay rights, Democrat or Republican. And so now that the culture has shifted so rapidly, I think a lot of people don't feel like they have to fly blindly with their party affiliation because the other side is evil, you know, because they're just being told that. So I think that most people in this country have been just falling into party lines. But now there's such an anti-establishment vigor amongst the people of this country on the left, too. That's why Bernie would have been the nominee. He was a nationalist. He was anti-establishment. He would have been the nominee if the Democratic Party had not colluded against him and all these other things, and their superdelegates and all this other stuff. So most people, I think, are on our side. And it's just the misbehavior of the establishment has finally reached a breaking point where people can actually come together.
Chadwick, I'd love to talk to you some more. I think you're fascinating and extraordinarily brave, extraordinarily brave. Congratulations on sticking to your principles and come what may. It's a rare thing.
The exact same to you, Glenn. Great admirer of yours.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll talk again. Thank you.
It's interesting to hear that.
This is happening. I'm telling you, if we if we walk together, if we don't open arms, those who feel like he does, left or right, if we don't close ranks and open arms, right now we have a chance to gather so many people, so many people.
I really like his answer to, well, wait a minute, what about when this side did this, I did this. Well, you know, maybe I made a mistake. I didn't have all the information, and now I do. Like that's
really
that sort
like
of attitude is so missing from our society that you could admit that, you know what, maybe I had the wrong perspective back then, and now I have the right one.
Yeah, like him a lot. Yeah. Okay.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
I don't know if anybody has noticed, but we're putting a lot of attention into glennbeck.com, trying to make it a really great, useful site for you with the news of the day and analysis as well. There's a great story at glennbeck.com right now about Russia and why we'll never really be friends.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of it is really, first of all, Ivan Drago's in there, which is a
we had to throw Ivan Drago in. I mean, they will never forgive us for that.
When you're having issues like things that are never talked about, like the tolerance of domestic abuse in Russia, that is so different from the principles that we have here.
Oh, like night and day.
Night and day. And so it goes into all the details on that. If you want to know, and I mean, look, we all know that Russia hasn't been our friend for a long time, but a lot of people are, I think, forgetting how bad this can be. And, you know, we don't want war with them. We don't want war, and I absolutely back all efforts to make sure we're not nuclear firing ICBMs at each other. But, you know, there's not a cultural connection here. There's a real separation, and we have to remember that. It's important to keep in mind.
It is the war against the land, the people of the land and the sea, as they call it. That's what they call their war against us. Mm. And read this. It's a great article, and you'll have some laughs, too. Only on glennbeck.com. Now, there's something else that we have to post on glennbeck.com, something that we noticed when Arnold Schwarzenegger left, when he said, hasta la vista, baby. Laugh? You bet. We all laughed. when he left, it was reported.
When he left the Celebrity Apprentice, if you haven't heard.
It was reported that he said, hasta la vista, baby. Literally, on almost every local newscast. Listen.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger has one thing to say to the Apprentice television show. And President Trump.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yep, he's quitting.
Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, Dan?
Come on, hasta.
Hasta la vida. Living la vida loca,
you
baby.
You mix those two.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, he's saying that to NBC's Celebrity Apprentice.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is saying hasta la vista to NBC's Celebrity Apprentice. Arnold Schwarzenegger is saying hasta la vista to NBC's Celebrity Apprentice. Arnold says hasta la vista, baby, to The Apprentice after only one season.
Let's talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger because he has said hasta la vista to the new Celebrity Apprentice here on NBC.
So just unbelievable.
And all of them said it.
I love all the small market ones who think it's hasta.
Yeah. Right. And they think it's funny. Each one of them thought it was funny. But he said, ha, 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 hasta la vista. Hasta la vista, baby. Oh, man, that was good stuff. Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh, you know, I want to talk about the new movie Get Out. Wolverine, or what's it called?
Logan.
Logan, I saw that this weekend. I will tell you also that we are... It's absolutely un-American to not discuss what Ben Carson did yesterday before we
so
sign
weird.
Off.
So weird.
I mean, I think that's a citizen's responsibility to discuss what he said yesterday.
Wow. That's impressive.
And you wanted to bring up the ratings.
Well, we just did the hasta la vista thing with him leaving, and I know Trump and you know Schwarzenegger have gone back and forth, and I'm no fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger by any means. The ratings argument is so weird with this because it really, his ratings actually weren't all that terrible for this show. They had, and when you think about it, going in, why did NBC do this? It's insane. Because first of all, everybody who's a liberal who watched The Apprentice with Trump now hates Trump, right? Because he's now, mm-hmm. he's president of the United States as a Republican. So they mm-hmm. all hate him. So none of them are going to tune in. And then everyone who likes Trump, who might go back to The Apprentice, is siding with Trump in this weird Trump-Schwarzenegger battle about ratings. So none of them want to go back and watch either. So right. it doesn't
and,
make...
And Arnold Schwarzenegger. Why are you watching Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yeah. I mean, Donald Trump was a businessman.
Right. And Schwarzenegger makes no
Schwarzenegger
sense. He's terrible.
What are you going to do
right.
with
it was a terrible idea on every level.
Right.
But listen to the ratings. This is these are the Apprentice ratings on NBC. First year, the one where Bill Rancic won, 20.7 million average. This is 2003.
And that keep in mind, that's when reality shows were huge.
Yeah. I mean, that is a
Survivor. And television. The numbers are down huge. For
yeah.
everyone.
Yeah. Now, yeah. he always says he's number one. That was not, he's never been number one, but he was number seven that year. That's a really
he was
good.
Never number one?
No.
Donald Trump was never number one?
No. I mean, like, maybe the finale hit number one that
wow.
week. I don't know.
But never for the season?
Wow. For the season. No,
never.
Never. Seven was the best. Then he went from 21 million to 16 million in season two.
20 to 16.
And went from 7th to 11th place. Then 16 million to 14 million from 11th to 15th place. Next season was a 14 million to 11 million from 15th to 38th place.
So now we've been cut almost in half.
Mm-hmm. Then we go 11 million to 9.7 million, and we nice. Drop from 38th to 51st place.
55%.
Wow. Okay.
What was that, 51st?
51st.
Wow.
Then we go 9.7 million to 7.5 million, and we drop from 51st to 75th place.
So what year was that the last year that he was on?
That's the last year of the regular Apprentice. Then okay, they said, you know what we need?
Celebrities.
So they bring in, they launch Celebrity Apprentice. Celebrity Apprentice, the ratings go back up a little bit to 11 million, but still 48th place. The best year of...
Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, Celebrity Apprentice. So then it drops from 11 million to 9 million.
Unbelievable.
48th to 52nd. Then 9 million to 7.4 million, 52nd to 59th. Then they go back to regular Apprentice, and regular Apprentice that year, and this is an important number to remember, drops from 7.5 million was the last Apprentice, drops to 4.7 million and gets 113th place. 113th place for the season.
And he's calling it number one.
Right. Now remember, 4.7 million, remember that number for a second. It goes back to Celebrity Apprentice again. They've now abandoned the regular Apprentice because it's not working anymore. And they put up... I can't remember where I left. I had 7.1 million in 73rd place. Then Trace Adkins, 5.6 million, 84th place. And then they have a little bounce up in season 14 for some reason. Goes 7.6 million, 67th place. Though. That's the bounce up. Now, Celebrity Apprentice with Arnold Schwarzenegger finishes the entire season averaging 4.9 million.
So bigger than
the last year of The Apprentice. Okay. And if you go back to Trace Adkins' year, which is 2012, he put up 5.6 million for Celebrity Apprentice. So 5.6 million versus what 4 years later, what Schwarzenegger puts up is 4.9. Now, just the degradation of Netflix and everything else, mm-hmm. that is not a terrible fall off at all. And it's higher than the last season of the regular Apprentice.
Can I tell you a story? We're doing these podcasts and they're coming out. Soon, I'm stockpiling some podcasts of some really fascinating people, and wanted to do, and we're going to do them very differently, and wanted to do kind of a pilot episode to see if it worked, and brought in Penn Jillette, and I've talked to him several times, but took a different approach with him, and really wanted to find his pivot point, and heard things from Penn Jillette that I've never heard before. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I understand Penn Jillette now, where I didn't. I always was wondering, how did you get here? How did this happen? How do you find your moral compass? All of this stuff. I found it when I think he was about 8 years old. Something happened to him that was wildly humiliating that he did and his parents saw. And he was really humiliated, like had a hard time looking at his parents. He was so humiliated. And it changed him and set him on the course that he's on now. But he came in, we were sitting down, and I don't even know if this was, I think this is part of the interview. He was just talking about, craziness of Trump and stuff. And he's like, look,
Because he was on Celebrity Apprentice.
He was on when it was in 65th place or 64th place. Oh, okay. He said, you know, I was on Celebrity Apprentice, so I know. And we talked about how Donald Trump claimed the money for charity mm-hmm. that actually Penn raised, and I wrote a check to. I mean, I wrote a check to his charity, but then he gave it to the Celebrity Apprentice, and Donald Trump released that during the campaign as one of his charitable contributions. And I'm like, that was my money. Jeez. But anyway, he said, and the most amazing thing, he said, I sat in a room. Now, this is the time when he's 60th place. I didn't know it was mm-hmm. that low. I thought it was like, you know, fifth. I didn't realize it was that low and had been that low for a long time. He said they were sitting there, and it was him and maybe Trace. I don't remember who. And it was down to the last two contestants. I think it was Trace Adkins. And they're sitting down, and they're getting ready to do this satellite tour. And Donald Trump is with them. And the guy from NBC comes out and says, okay, listen, you talk about anything, but do not talk about the ratings. Ratings have not been good for quite some time.
And Trump is there.
Saying it. He said, I didn't realize they were saying it to Donald Trump. Mm. I thought they were saying it to all of us. He said, but as it turns out, they were saying it to Donald.
Because he loves to talk about ratings.
And they said, do not talk about the ratings. You can talk about anything you want. Do not talk about the ratings. And Donald said, great. They go on the satellite tour, and they're introduced, and they say, you know, here from the Celebrity Apprentice is Donald Trump and Trace. And he said, he interrupts him and says, listen, before we go on, I want you to know our ratings are huge. They're the biggest they've ever been. We're number one across the board.
And oh, my gosh.
Trace and Penn looked at each other like, what the hell just happened? He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Arnold Schwarzenegger looks like a loser, even though he had higher ratings than Donald Trump had in The Last Apprentice. He looks like a loser.
Yeah.
Because Donald Trump is a master at just turning everything around.
Yeah, I mean that's the season they finished in 84th place and had 5.6 million in 2012, which was, I mean, the worst season of Celebrity Apprentice. But a little bit better than the worst season of The Regular Apprentice, and just a tick higher than Arnold.
So that
Arnold
was not 67. That was 84th. That season, 84th. Mm-hmm. It was even worse.
The worst ratings
of The Apprentice Celebrity. Wow.
I mean, you're pretty accomplished when you can claim you're number one when you're actually 84th.
No, you know what? And have people believe it. Have people believe it is the interesting part.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because he rode
no
that.
No wonder the guy's president.
I think people rode that so long with him as it's just fun. I mean, he's just Donald Trump. That's just Donald being Donald.
Well,
so by not calling him out and calling him like sociopathic about the lies, instead, the media just was like, it's Donald Trump. Of course he's going to say that.
At least for a while, until he got the nomination.
Until he got the nomination. Mm-hmm. But I mean for the last 30 years, I don't mean the last 90 or 90, you know, a year and a half. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the last 30 years.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, this is not exclusive to Republicans by any means. The same treatment Joe Biden gets.
Yes.
And it was the same treatment. Right. Everyone was like, you know,
he's just a joke. It's just Joe being Joe. No, Joe is touching women. There's a problem there.
He's obviously snuggling up to a lot of women. He's just making up stories constantly, and people are just like, well, come on. He's just Joe. Occasionally, he says TV was invented in the 1400s. What? It's Joe Biden. Give him a break. And everyone's like, okay. I guess we're supposed to ignore it. Very strange.
I hope this isn't happening with Ben Carson, but I don't understand Ben Carson. Ben Carson is obviously a brilliant man. Brilliant. He is smart enough to do the homework. He's smart enough to figure things out.
Well, he certainly knows better than this.
Does he?
He has to.
Does he?
He has to.
How can you possibly say this?
I don't know.
Do you have the audio or you just have the
quote? No, just because it was a speech to the employees of the agency.
Listen to this.
he was talking about America and how what a great land of opportunity it is. And he said, and I'm quoting, "There were other immigrants who came here in the bottom of slave ships, worked even longer, even harder for less."
Okay, stop. I don't think I've ever heard people who were kidnapped,
chained, forced into the bottom of the ship,
called immigrants,
whipped, and
it's
called
like
immigrants.
Saying, you know, a lot of them were tourists. They were just here, and you know, they eventually died here, but they were tourists.
He makes it worse though, because he says, "But they too had a dream that one day their sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, great grandsons, great granddaughters might pursue prosperity and happiness in this land."
No.
In the bottom of the slave ship, that's what they're thinking?
They're probably thinking,
could I go home?
Get
the hell out of here.
Yeah, how do I get home?
Yeah.
They were thinking, how can I get away from this godforsaken land that enslaves us so I could get back home? That's what they were thinking.
Yeah.
They were
unbelievable.
Thinking, man, has this vacation lasted too long. I've got to get back home.
Hey, they were working hard, too.
Jeez.
They were working hard,
and
just like the immigrants today. Not for very much money.
Right. Yeah, none. Like zero.
What?
If he was a white guy, he'd be out of office already. He'd be done already.
Can I say something, honestly?
Mm-hmm.
I have serious issues with his ability to reason at times.
Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously a smart guy. Does he have zero? I can't even call it common sense, because it's not about him saying this like, oh, my gosh, don't you have common sense? You don't say that. No. Don't you have common sense enough to know that's not true?
Well, I mean, you know, look, it could be a function of him being in a media environment and trying to be too interesting. You know, like a lot of times people, like, we've seen it, we've had this before where we go into interviews and your instinct as someone who's in the public eye is to say things that are interesting to people that might cause them to think or cause them to rethink something. And sometimes you realize that's not a good idea, particularly when it's not your show or not your venue, because it will just get twisted into something else. It's not your job to give someone who's interviewing you good material. That is not your gig.
It's almost time to say hasta la vista to Ben Carson.
What was the context of this, though? Is he making a point about immigration where, well, look, there's been a lot of people who have struggled through tough times.
No.
Right.
No,
like, it's not struggling
through tough times. You're a slave.
Right. Mm-hmm. I get it. But my point is that might be, he might be trying to make a point that is sensible and is trying to provide good material and went way too far. But he doesn't. And this is why he's not president of the United States, by the way.
Hang on. One of the reasons.
Capable of finding when he has those problems.
I would believe that if he was trying to find some entertaining things while he was on stage in front of the entire country. But he wasn't. He was practically sleeping on stage when the country was watching. So he's not the guy who's like, I'm looking for a joke. Anybody got a joke? Anybody got a good story I can tell?
He might think of himself more that way. Do we know what the setup question was to it? By any chance, Pat, do you have that?
You look at it. I'm going to take a quick break. You look for it and we'll come back.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
That's what America is about. A land of dreams and opportunity. There were other immigrants who came here in the bottom of slave ships, worked even longer, even harder for less.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Man.
But they, too, had a dream.
Mm-hmm. I want to go home.
That one day their sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, great-grandsons.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like Michael Jackson giving a serious speech.
You know, I think he has all of the abilities, the electric speaking abilities of Michael Jackson.
Mr. Gorbachev. If you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Thank you.
I think you may be right.
Carson,
he really does have the energy level of Michael Jackson when he's just talking.
It's horrifying.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.